Hi, I'm Jessica Whitbread, and I'm an artist and an activist from Toronto, and I'm super excited to be here and talk about Tea Time, Mapping Informal Networks of Women Living with HIV, which is a project that I've been working on and for the last, 2 years? Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Yeah, sure. So the book is, I guess I'll tell you about the project. It was something that I started about 2 years ago while I was doing my master's. I developed a tea time method for social change. It was a participatory community-based kind of research method, drawing from feminist theory and community organizing and, you know, all the things that are really fun and that I love. And, what I wanted to do, being a woman living with HIV, I wanted to work within the community and do a project that was led by and for women living with HIV that, you know, is very uncommon. So I decided to use the tea time method, which is basically going around and having tea parties with positive women in North America. So basically how the project worked is women would come and they bring a teacup and a letter, and they'd leave it behind, and in exchange, they get a teacup and letter from another woman living with HIV who lived in another city somewhere else. So this book is a compilation of all of the photos of the teacups and letters, in which there's 64. So, yeah, it's a bit of their story and mine as well.
And so these letters, were they just people kind of explaining their stories and in exchange for another story, or what was that part about?
Yeah. So they were just asked to. So the women had no idea where their letter would go and whose hands it would be in. So they would basically just write an anonymous letter. Well, not anonymous. That's not the word I'm looking for. A letter to a stranger. And they were asked to put any just information in it that they felt comfortable with sharing. So some people like put advice. Some people talked about like being a long-term survivor or newly diagnosed, how they got it, a bit about their family. A number of women put contact information so they could start personal relationships with whoever got their letter. I don't know. I cried so many times reading them because they were so beautiful. I don't know. It was just so amazing to be part of the process.
Can you talk a little bit about the scope of the project? Like, I know you said maybe they'd be giving letters to women in different cities, but how far did this stretch?
Yeah, no, for sure. So it was really interesting. It started off, so it snowballed, and that's what I wanted it to do. I didn't want to, like, force it down anyone's throat. I wanted it to, like, grow organically. And so this book is currently it has 14 of the tea parties in it, but they've since expanded beyond that as well. So it's been, you know, places in Ontario, like Toronto, Ottawa, and then it went to, like, Montreal, New York, Washington, D.C., then to the West Coast, Vancouver. And then it's also, it's happened in Kenya, in Nairobi, Amsterdam, and, well, it's not in the book, but Bangkok as well.
Wow, that's incredible. Were you there at each tea time?
Wow. So I've always been present. So basically I go, so the way it happens too, it's always community led, and women have to contact me and want to host one, and they get to decide where and when it is. One of the problems I feel sometimes in the movement, and which, you know, through my research, you'll have to read some research papers to find out like the deeper stuff, but it's that, projects, for instance, the thing I think is nice is that women, they have to actually want it to happen, and they have to organize it themselves. So they contact me, and they co-facilitate and set up a tea party in their city. And the best part is that when I leave, they've already started it, and many of the tea times, they're still continuing to meet today. For instance, one started in March 2012. There was no group, social support group for women living with HIV in Hamilton, Ontario. And since that time, they've been meeting once a month in a church basement, which I think is pretty cute.
I was actually wondering something along those lines. I didn't realize how vast the book or the movement stretched. So maybe this question can apply to each different place differently. But in general, what would you say the community of women living with HIV is like? Is there a lot of support?
Well, it's super, super hard. So like, community is a pretty big word. And I had to kind of work through that, like do my own personal work around that, because, you know, sometimes I haven't really like felt part of a community. Like, what is community? We're all women. We all have HIV. But there's so many other things about each of us as individuals and our many intersecting identities. So I also identify as being queer as well. And, you know, that's in the HIV movement, we mostly talk about women in relationship to reproductive health and and in relationship to, like, babies. So that's been, there hasn't been much space carved out for those kind of conversations. And I think one of the things that I've noticed is that, like, a lot of times, like, the thing that brings us together is our HIV, but we have, like, so much more that, like, we need to explore and that is often left unsupported. In general, I don't know if that's making sense, but in general, there's not a lot of programs that are specifically for women living with HIV. There's not a lot of research done that's focused on women. There's not a lot of action that's taking place, and a lot of, like, and I think that's a huge issue. And one of the things that has been really fun about the Tea Time project is that women have been coming together, consciousness has been raised, and they've been, like, self-organizing and making their own change.
Going off of that then, obviously support in general for women living with HIV is pretty necessary, but what are the values? What is the importance of a supportive community of other women living with HIV? What does that bring to the experience that is not otherwise provided?
Yeah. No, that's a good question, because I think having HIV kind of sucks sometimes, you know? Not every moment of the day, but there's a lot of situations that are very unique to a woman's experience with HIV. And I think that you know, coming together and being able to talk to peers that have a shared experience to some extent is so incredibly valuable. For instance, one of the tea parties that I had was in Orillia, a town about, I don't know, 2-3 hours north of Toronto. And when I went there, it was just me and her. And she told me at the time that I was, like, the third person to come to her house. And she wasn't connected to any other positive women in her area, which, you know, with the current legal situation of which, you know, criminalization of HIV non-disclosure, with the stigma being so high, with you know, ignorance all around you from other people, I think that it can be really tough and really lonely and hard to navigate this world if you don't have people around you that you can talk to and understand what you're going through. So through this project, I've seen a number of women actually come and meet other women living with HIV for the first time. Now one of them in particular has been doing activism around it. And I don't know, it gives me the chills just thinking about how much she's moved forward and been able to find strength in her own life to deal with, I don't know, living with HIV.
Did you, when you started the project, did you imagine that it would get to this point? Did you imagine that you'd have, or the project, I guess, itself would have this effect on women's lives?
I don't know. I guess, like, I never really thought about what it could be. I just kind of, you know, wanted to be a part of it. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm not only, like, well, it depends which hat. Like, I started off as a researcher, artist, community member, whatever, like, all those things. It's, like, I'm also a woman living with HIV, and it was also my way of trying to, like, navigate finding my own peers and other women that I could relate to and be part of, like, creating communal knowledge and documenting some of our histories. And I think that, yeah, I never really thought of what it could be. I just always thought, like, wouldn't it be amazing if there was some kind of network that was able to support each other in different ways and if we felt connected and more loved.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the book, I guess a two-part question. Why did you decide to bring it together in a book format? And then what are you hoping that people get out of the book?
Yeah, so I decided to do it as a book. It's something that I talked about with the women before. I remember reading this one book quite a long time ago about it. Oh, what was it called? It's like, eek, I think it's Living Positively. I forget totally. But it was about social support groups for women living with HIV in the early 90s. And I remember reading that and just thinking, like, wow, it still kind of sounds the same. And be like, you know, women's stories are often not told or misrepresented, or yeah, there's basically not that much space created, especially in North America or the Western world. I don't know if I actually want to say that part, but there's not that much space told or open for women living with HIV to share their stories. There's a lot of assumptions made, and a lot of times mainstream media and discourse kind of make up their mind on what they want to share. So this was a way of us kind of taking up space and taking that back. And a book form, I feel, is, well, I've had the photos in different art exhibits. I feel the having a book is something that, you know, the women can have and hold in their own homes. Because each of the tea party, like the cities that had the tea parties, I'm giving them a book so they can come together and know that it's theirs and they are part of this larger community and this larger network.
And for, I guess, presumably, I know there are a ton of copies of the book because it looks like a pretty huge book, but presumably some people will be picking up the book that may be connected to someone with living with HIV but may themselves not have HIV. How do you see the book affecting these people and maybe changing the stigma around it or affecting public opinion about women living with HIV?
Yeah, well, I feel that, like, I don't know. I think that maybe people who read it, like, what I'm hoping for, so I'll leave it open and people can make their own decisions and come to their own kind of like places. But maybe they'll realize that it's, we're very diverse. We exist in all sectors of life. Like in the book, there's women who are like grandmothers, nearing 70, to young women who were born with it, who are now like having their own babies. And I think one of the things that I hope people realize is that about how complex it can be and how like women's needs are unique, and that they have to be, not have to be, but the importance of addressing specific needs for women.
All right, we're just about done, but can you tell us when the book launches and where people can pick up copies?
Yeah, so the book launch in Montreal, it's going to be launched in Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, and in New York, plus online. So it will be on Sunday, February 2nd from 4 till 6 at NDQ. I don't know. It's like Saint Laurent and Beaubien. And we're going to have snacks and treats that I'm baking myself. It's all fair trade and organic and delicious. And I hope that people can come out and celebrate. And hopefully my fingers are crossed that lots of positive women can make it. And I'm pretty sure one or two of the women who were part of the party in Montreal are going to come and say a few words as well. So, and I just want to say, like, another thing about the book that's super special is that Jessica McCormick, Johnny Forever, and Anthea Black, three really amazing, like, queer artists, were part of the process and spent time creating these really amazing, beautiful, super limited edition cover sleeves for the book. So, and any of the funds raised will go back into continuing the project, as well as Jonathan LeFrancois is like a lifesaver, and he helped so much designing the book and making it the beautiful thing that it is. I felt like I wanted to give those shout outs because it's important, because this project, I think, speaks to like a larger community as well. And I think those four in particular have, like, I really look up to them because I feel that they role model how to be an amazing ally. Mm-hmm. And I think that for the allies who are going to come out, if you ever want to learn a thing or two, you can talk to any one of those four, and they'll they can show you the way, a few tricks.
All right. Thank you so, so much for talking to us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Thank
Super
you so
looking
much
forward
for,
to
like,
launch.
You know, caring and inviting me.